I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Lately, it's hard to get through a day without talking about all the things that are dividing our country. But there's at least one thing right now that seems to be uniting us, and that's excitement about next week's total solar eclipse. In case you've been too preoccupied to notice, it's going to cross the entire country next Monday from the Pacific coast to the Atlantic, and millions of people will be on the move to see it. Among them will be countless astronomers and other scientists. That's because when the sun is hidden by the moon, an eclipse also helps reveal some of the deep secrets of nature. Here's The World's Ari Daniel.
It's a dance that's been playing itself out for millennia. On average, once every year and a half, the moon slips directly between the Earth and the sun, punching a hole of darkness into the daytime sky. And whenever possible, there have been people below looking up. By all accounts, experiencing a total solar eclipse is revelatory. A quick YouTube search will confirm that. They're especially revelatory for people who study them.
I mean, every eclipse gives you new information.
This is Shadia Habal, an astronomer at the University of Hawaii, originally from Syria. And she does mean every eclipse. For instance, 2,500 years ago,
the Babylonians could actually predict the occurrence of eclipses.
They did it using careful records of previous eclipses.
They didn't know anything about Newton, but you can say they preceded him by thousands of years.
Essentially, the Babylonians used eclipses to infer basic laws of motion. Newton, of course, was the guy who later derived those basic laws in the 17th century, building on the work of Johannes Kepler. He'd figured out a set of basic laws of planetary motion a few decades earlier. Habal says neither Newton nor Kepler got help from solar eclipses, but that eclipses soon allowed other scientists to prove them both right. So 400 years or so ago, eclipses confirmed new theories of how objects move on Earth, in our solar system, and beyond. And those breakthroughs, in turn, help form the foundation of modern science and technology. Fast forward to 1868 and an eclipse in India. A French astronomer named Pierre Janssen,
oh, bonjour,
trained an instrument on the corona, the sun's atmosphere that's still visible during an eclipse as a bright crown encircling the moon, and he analyzed its light to figure out what the sun was made of.
Hydrogen!
Superhot hydrogen gas was easy. That was an element scientists had identified here on Earth about 100 years before. It's the H in H2O. But there was something else. Something that an English astronomer, Norman Lockyer,
jolly good,
later determined was a new element, which he called
helium,
after Helios, the Greek god of the sun. It was unknown to science at the time.
It took about 25 years before it was found on Earth.
Today, helium's used for everything from high-tech magnets to birthday party balloons. And we know about it thanks to a solar eclipse. A year later, during the eclipse of 1869 in Iowa, an American and a Scotsman separately detected what they thought was another new element glimmering in the corona. They called it coronium. It later turned out there was no such thing. Coronium was actually the element iron, stripped of 13 electrons. But that discovery was a big deal, too.
To lose 13 electrons meant the temperature had to be at several million degrees.
Shadia Habal says the discovery showed that the sun's atmosphere is hundreds of times hotter than its surface.
Personally, I think that was a landmark discovery.
It was totally unexpected, and it helped us learn more about how stars work. Then there's the eclipse that helped prove how the whole universe works. It was in 1919, and it was observed by a team headed by British astronomer Arthur Eddington.
Let me just show you.
This is Eddington, actually an actor playing Eddington in the movie Einstein and Eddington. He was seeking to prove a radical new idea, Einstein's theory of general relativity.
Space. The tablecloth is space.
Central to the theory is the notion that space and time form a kind of fabric, like Eddington's tablecloth, and that massive objects, like stars, bend that fabric.
The sun. What's happening?
Eddington tosses a round loaf of bread into the middle of his stretched-out tablecloth.
What's happening with the sun and space?
The sun makes a shape around it in space.
Yes. Now.
Eddington then rolls an apple onto the tablecloth, and it moves around the bread, as though in orbit.
It wants to travel in a straight line, but it can't.
The apple follows the curves made in space.
Yes, and that is how gravity works. Space tells objects how to move. Objects tell space what shape to be. And there's a way to prove it.
Einstein predicted that the gravity of massive objects like the sun would even bend starlight. But of course, the sun is way too bright to measure any starlight nearby, which is where that eclipse of 1919 came in. Eddington sailed to the island of Principe in the Atlantic. Other members of his team went to Brazil. When the moon blocked the sun, they took pictures, which they used to try to determine whether starlight passing near the sun had been shifted by the tiny amount Einstein had predicted. The result, Eddington claimed, was clear. Einstein was right.
In this man's work, in the beautiful complexity of the new universe he has shown us, I, for one, have no doubt.
It's rather dubious because the equipment they had wasn't sensitive enough.
Shadia Habal says Eddington's results actually weren't so definitive.
I think many people agree that it was more hype than reality.
But before long, technology caught up to the challenge, and it confirmed Eddington's conclusion from the eclipse of 1919. Einstein's theory of general relativity was correct. Some fundamental secrets of the universe were revealed. And that's the way it is with solar eclipses. The darkness illuminates our understanding of our sun, our solar system, our universe, of the power of science itself. So the question for this year's eclipse is, what will we learn this time? For The World, I'm Ari Daniel.
Ari will be part of our team covering the eclipse next Monday. He'll be on the ground in Idaho for us and our sister program, NOVA. Before then, though, we want to know what your eclipse plans are. Are you on the road already, or are you fortunate enough to live under that path of totality and maybe prepping for a horde of visitors? We want to hear your plans, so tweet them or post a photo on Instagram and tag us at PRI The World. You can also leave us an old-fashioned voicemail. The number is 1-877-406-6303. Again, that's 877-406-6303.